so I have to prosper. But this is the word the Lord gave me. Don't be offended at me, okay? And it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. You have to discern if it's for you. But some of the people, I felt the Lord tell me, you're not prospering because you're investing in the wrong place or the wrong things. See, a lot of people say they don't have money, but actually they spend it, their money, in the wrong place. And I really felt this because I feel like there's a move of God coming. If you will seriously start to invest in the ministry here, you will prosper, I promise you. You see, it's like putting your money, if you found out the bank down the road's giving you like 50% interest rate, hello, you'd move your account really quick, wouldn't you? And so it's the same thing, like, it's not for everybody, but, you know, so you can discern, right? So you start to seriously invest in the ministry if you belong to this church. You will find you'll prosper. God will give you cows. That's little businesses. Okay.
That's right. The cows. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Minister Michael, will you raise your hand, please, to the kids that will be going to the back with Minister Michael and Miss Lisa, those that are going with them, so we can do that release. And Miss Sylvia will go ahead and cover up in the back, please. And what we're going to do is we'll take our offering now. And what we're going to do, remember, you just heard a word from the Lord. A word from the Lord. Be obedient. Give you just a quick. If your mama or daddy told you to do something, you were, as a child, you had to do it, or some of y'all would get, you know, we'll just leave it alone. But daddy is speaking. Now, daddy's not going to put his heavy hand on you, but you're not going to reap what he's telling you to reap. Just be obedient to God. Amen? That's where the blessing is. If you have your tithe and offering envelopes ready, just lift them up before the Lord as a wave offering. It's a wave offering that my fields are plentiful. My harvest is great. Father, we thank you for the increase. We thank you for the overflow. We thank you for the supernatural increase based upon your word and your principles, Father, that we obey. As we sow today, Father God, for this house, and we sow into the kingdom, Father, we thank you that the word has gone forth. And we think that behind the word, God, we can reap our harvest because you have spoken. And Father, we thank you in advance. We bless those that are giving. Bless those that are sowing. We bless those that sow in other areas, in other ministries, in other people's lives, Father God, because as they're sowing, they're giving to you. So, Father, we thank you. We release to them, Father God, the blessing back into their life, pressed down, shaken again, that men shall give unto their bosom. Bosom, God, bosom, bosom. Lord, I just thank you in advance. In Jesus' mighty name, you may come and serve the Lord. Miss Walters has her table in the back that she'll have product to sell. She has some products she'd like to share with you now. Miss Walters, I wanted to make sure I gave you as much time as possible. So we're going to get this preliminaries out of the way, and I want you to come and deliver to the house. And as you deliver to the house, be free. Yes, ma'am, you can put it in there. If you have the visitor's cards, you can put them in there as well. Thank you very much. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You're precious. You're precious. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Bam. That's right. Bam. 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 Checks in the mail. Bam. Checks in the mail. Bam. Checks in the mail. Checks in the mail. Hallelujah. 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 We'll wait for those that are still going to give. We'll wait. Hallelujah. We'll wait. No rush. No rush. There's no rush. Because I know when you're counting out the millions, it takes some time. And I know. I know. Harvest. 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 God is good. God is good. Ooh, hallelujah. There's a restful spirit in the house. Go ahead and lift it up, fellas. Sylvia. Bam. 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 You gave a word when we were to sow that there would be checks in the mail. My wife wanted to share with you. I don't know where she went. But it manifested that week. It manifested that week. You remember that, Jackie? It manifested that same week. All the mailboxes we anointed said good news. Good news. Remember that word? Good news. And we had good news released that day. We received our good news in the mailbox. So it's a blessing because for the 3 years we've been in this ministry, we've never taken a vacation. And the Lord instructed me to take a sabbatical this month, to extend it into August. This coming Sunday, we're taking a cruise as a family because of the good news. Yay. So we honor, we thank you, we bless your obedience in the word. And there was others that had testimonies based on what you spoke about the good news. Gentlemen, if you would please lift it up and we can pray. Extend your hands to the chest, please. Father, we just thank you, the harvest right now, the harvest, Father God, back into the lives of your people. Thank you, supernatural breakthrough, supernatural is taking place on behalf of their bank accounts, their homes, their family, their children, Lord, their extended family, their neighbors, Father God, the territories in which their influence, Father God, is being enlarged. We thank you in advance. We thank you for a hundredfold return right now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. God bless you. It is a great honor and a privilege to have Ms. Walters here to come and minister to us and bring what God has given her, but more importantly, the anointing that rests upon her life. Many of you that follow have seen her in Sid Roth, her own ministry, and her Elijah list. God has blessed her with a timely word within her mouth. She's a voice for the kingdom of God. And when she speaks, the airwaves reverberate because it's the word from the Lord. So we appreciate you. We honor you. So please come forth and bless us.
Good morning. It's nice to be back here. Actually, when I came in, as we drew up, I had a vision of a strawberry patch. You've been smelling strawberries, right? And when I came in, I smelled strawberries. You know, God speaks through the aromas. Oh, that's upside down. God, people don't realize, you know, Christians don't realize that actually every manifestation, God is speaking. There aren't manifestations to entertain you. They can be entertaining sometimes, but every manifestation, God is speaking. So you always have to, you know, tune in, say, I can do that, tune in. Keep your antenna up. Come on, people. It's good to do childlike things. So you keep your antenna up. Ask God, what are you saying? Because every aroma, God is saying something to you. I have my aromas book there, and I think you have one. Liz has one. Tell you what the different aromas mean. I think I said strawberries, friendship with God. And so when you see manifestations of the Spirit, and you should always be in a church where there are manifestations of the Holy Spirit, otherwise you have word only. Is that right? And what did the Apostle Paul say? I didn't come to you in word only, but with demonstration of the Spirit and in power. So you should always be somewhere where the Holy Spirit's allowed to demonstrate what you say, otherwise it's a word only. You see, and a lot of Christians end up in a church where there's no manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and they end up with an unfruitful spirit, which is a religious spirit. Because, you know, God confirms the word. How? How does he confirm the word? With signs and wonders. Do you see? So that's why you shouldn't be somewhere where it's just word only. Because they're not allowing God to do what he wants to do. You're cutting it off. So Paul said, I didn't come to you in word only, demonstration of the Spirit and in power. So you should always allow the Holy Spirit to confirm what he says, okay? Like if the Holy Spirit is really speaking, there's got to be some kind of effect. Something has to happen. Like Jesus, you know, everything Jesus said he did. He said, I'm the light of the world, and he opened the eyes of the blind. He said, I'm the bread of life, and then he fed the 5,000. He said, I'm the door, and he opened the door to heaven for us. Everything he did, he said. He said, I'm, you know, the resurrection and the life, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. So everything he said, he did. So that should always be there. I'll tell you one interesting thing that happened. My husband was in a church in Florida a while ago, and they had a great move of the Spirit. And it was great after the meeting, you know, all kinds of things was happening, all the stuff, you know. But this one lady, the anointing came on this one lady, and she ran backwards, right around the church. Then she ran backwards out of the door and right across the field. You see, well, they could have thought, well, that was kind of strange. But the elders and the pastor were wise. So the next morning they got together, had a little prayer meeting, and asked God, well, what are you saying? And you know what God told them? He told them, because they were in a revival, he said, you're not going forward until you go back for the children. So my husband went down there because he brings kids and youth into the anointing. Kids going to heaven for hours. And a couple of weeks ago in one meeting when he had the kids praying for the sick, two people were healed instantly who'd been deaf since birth. To the little kids, so, you know, deaf people, blind people. He calls it the laying on of sticky fingers. But anyway, so they did what God told them to. They went back. David brought all the kids in to the anointing to catch up with everyone else, and then they all move forward into a powerful move of God. So you always have to ask God, what are you saying? Otherwise you can miss things if you just don't take any notice. And a lot of Christians don't realize that everything God is talking to you, he's saying something. A couple of weeks ago I had a word. I was in my van driving and suddenly felt rain on me. You've probably felt that sometimes. It felt like raindrops. So I thought, what's going on? And the Lord said, I'm going to start to release rain in the churches. So if you start to feel rain. So I said, well, what is it for? And he said, I'm going to water the word that I've been investing in the body, the grace message, for the last 5 years. So he's going to water the grace message. So that's exciting, because the more you get a handle on the grace message, the less you get you're in striving and trying. Striving and trying will take you out of the spirit so fast. Because like I said, all the time when I was here last time, it's not, you know, we're not working for Jesus this morning. Sorry. Jesus is not running around San Antonio trying to recruit workers for the kingdom. He's just looking for his sons and daughters to rise up and be who he called them to be. So he loves you to pieces, but he doesn't want you to work for him. Sorry. He wants you to yield to him so that he can move through you. That's different, isn't it? And I guarantee you a lot more will happen in a shorter time if you do that. Say, Jesus, I'm not working for you anymore. I quit. Yeah. See, when you have that concept, it's just an old religious concept, working for Jesus, you know, saving away, that's not New Testament. That's not the New Covenant. The New Covenant is he that works in you, both to will and to do. So it's not us doing, it's us yielding. Oh, that's so much easier. Woo! You get to chill out, have fun. Haven't you noticed, like, you've been in a restaurant or something, you're just having fun, whatever, and suddenly, there's the anointing. And haven't you noticed sometimes how quickly you get in the spirit and God starts moving when you're silly? You know why that is? Because you're outside of here. So there's a place for that. That's okay. You know, sometimes, you know, I could tell you some stories, but I think I better not. Can I get some water? God, see, God is so moving outside the religious box. This move of the Spirit, this, the end time move, really, it began on the 23rd of June last year when the Queen's barge went down the Thames. Thanks, Billy. When the Queen's barge went down the Thames, Jubilee celebration, remember that? And I don't know where to put it. Ooh. Is this safe? Okay. When the Queen's barge went down the Thames on the 23rd of June, the word, a 1930s prophecy was released. And so I'll tell you what it was. But let me tell you this first. Benny Johnson and I, you know Bill and Benny Johnson, so we both had the same word at the same time, so we put it together. And it was about the bells. Do you have any bells here in the church? You should get some. Get some bells. Honestly. And we had a word about the bells because I kept hearing these peals of bells, and so did she. She's in California, I'm in Georgia. But we both kept hearing. Anyway, we put it all together, and the Lord told us, when the Queen's barge goes down the Thames, because all the churches in London rang their bells, when, remember she had 8 new bells made for that, and they were in the barge in front of hers, and they rang the bells all down the Thames. And so did the churches all over London rang their bells. You see, so we thought, well, what is this about, really? And the Lord said it was a declaration of a celebration that was released in the 1930s prophecy. Now, on Friday, the Holy Spirit said to me, get 1,000 intercessors to go down to the Thames on Saturday and bind up the water spirits that have controlled London for centuries. And I said to the Lord, I only know about 2 people that live near the Thames now. You know, because I lived in England 35 years ago. So I thought, I don't know 1,000 intercessors that can go to the Thames. But anyway, the word about the bells was on the Elijah list that day. So guess what? All these people from England are emailing me. So I just said, you know what? Just will you all please, whoever can, go down to the Thames on Saturday and bind the water spirits that have controlled London for centuries, so when the Queen's barge goes down with the bells, that word can be released. I'll tell you what the word is in a minute. And so now I know of at least 2,000 people that went to the Thames. Whole conferences got up, left the conference and went to the Thames and prayed over the Thames. Sharon Stone's conference got up. Windsor, that's on the Thames. Left the conference, went down to the Thames. So at least that's what I know. Well, this was the word. Ready? This was the word that was released. Bob Jones confirmed it, although he didn't know what the word was. He said God gave a word in 1930 to a group of people and tell them it will, you will see it. Well, the last guy that has the word, he's 101. Anyway, this was the word. The word was, there'll come a breath, and the breath will bring the wind, and the wind will bring rain. Whoa! And there will be torrents and torrents. So shall they be saved, like leaves falling from a mighty oak, when a hurricane goes through the forest. Listen, arms and legs will come from heaven, and there will be no ebb. If you don't know what the word ebb means, it means, you know the waves go in and out? Well, the ebb is when the water draws back again. So there will be no ebb. Woo! So that started. Would you take that lid off for me, please? Thank you. So that started, and the rains drops. Whoa! Thank you. You can keep the lid. Well, this is what I tell people. It's not going to look like you think. I think a lot of it is going to be outside the church. God's doing some really wild things. He's not asking your approval. He's not asking your opinion, sorry. But, you know, when something like that happens, like a move of God like that, you have to, don't decide when the river's flowing past you, don't decide what you're going to do. Because by the time you decide, you're getting the tail end instead of the front end. The thing to do is to decide now. You know, you've got to have I call it a Peregrini spirit. The Peregrini were in the 5th century, from the monasteries in Ireland, Some of the young men and women would leave the monastery. They'd get in a little boat off the shores of Ireland. It had no rudder and it had no oars. They just trusted God to send the wind to take them where they were supposed to go. I'd say that was a spirit of abandonment to the purposes of God. Yeah? So say Jesus, whatever. But that's what it is. That's what I call a Peregrini spirit. So it means what you're saying is, I'm available, whatever you've got, I'm available. So the thing to do is decide now. It's like I tell people, don't wait till you're sick, till you decide what you believe about healing. I would decide while you're well, so that if you should get sick, you know what to believe. You know, don't try and figure it out. So, so I think, you know, it's good to decide now. Because that is moving already. You can feel the splashes. So the manifestations will get stronger. So those of you that are offended by manifestations, I'd go find yourself a little dead church right now. Because it's not going to get any easier for you. This lady said to me a few weeks ago, she said, Kathy, I do want to be in revival. She said, but I don't like any of this stuff. I said, what stuff? She said, well, you know, like the falling down and speaking in tongues and visions and all that. I said, you can be in a revival of religion? Well, strong up here. Well, so now, listen. Where this 2 Corinthians 3, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
But I just want to talk to you a little bit about what that means. Because, you know, people tend to think freedom is like running around, shouting, waving flags. That's not necessarily the freedom of the Spirit. You understand that? If you've been in like a lot of Pentecostalism, you will know there's Pentecostal spirits. They can be very loud, you know. And so it's not talking about that kind of freedom. It's really talking about freedom in your relationship with God. I've been in a lot of revival. Some of you know about like the very first revival I was in was a revival of the glory of God. The glory of God came for a number of years, and he just took over. It was awesome. I mean, you know, it didn't matter where you sat, because the person next to you could tell you your name and address, the name of your dog. It was quite scary. It was quite scary in a way, you know, because people actually ran away, and they'd creep back a few weeks later, you know, because their hunger. Sometimes, you know, your heart will bring you further than your mind. Your mind will like, but you're hungry, so you'll push past that and end up, you get delivered. Is that right? How many of you got delivered before? So, you know, we had to tell people when they came to the meetings, they'd call, you know, where's the meeting? We'd have to say, no, look, when you come to the meeting, because it was in the market hall in the center of our town, in the middle of the town. So we'd have to tell people, when you come to the meeting, there'd be people laying in the street. Don't take any notice, just step over them and come in. Because, see, the glory of God wasn't in the building. The glory of God was on the people. So as they began to come, it was so strong that people never made it into the building. They just fall out and lay in the street. Well, the police and that, they got used to it after a while. And they left people alone, you know. And people, like the young people, would leave our house. because we had a lot of house meetings. You know, God always moves in homes. And people would leave our house, especially the young people, they'd go to the bus stop. You know, because young people didn't have cars then, really. And you don't need to when you live in a place like London. You know, you got a bus every 5 minutes. And you can't park anywhere, so you can't park, so no point in having a car. But they would leave the house, and they never made it to the bus stop. They would just fall out in the spirit, you know, in people's yards. And lay in the bushes and, like, hang on the trees. And the neighbors would call the police, and the police would, you know, come and scrape them up and bring them back to our house because they knew where they came from. And they say, you have to do something with these people. There's something wrong with them. So, see, I love it. A real revival is always to do with the people. When it's just one person at the front all the time, that's not a revival. That's kind of like revival meetings which people hold. But when it's God, he takes over. Guess what? He takes over everybody. It's everybody. We never knew sometimes what was going to happen, what God was going to do, or who he was going to use. Sometimes that, you know, my husband, who was really the leader of that revival, and they never spoke sometimes for weeks because God's just moving on the people. I remember one Sunday morning, there's about 250 people there, because if more than 10 people came from one place, we tell them not to come. So, you know, you have your own meeting over there. We don't want to collect a big crowd. But anyway, this one Sunday morning, this little boy got up. He was about eight. His name was Stephen. So he stood up in the middle, and he put his Bible on the floor and stood on it because he read something about standing on the word. He put a handkerchief on his head. I'm not quite sure why he did that. And when I think of it now, he looks really strange. But he sang two lines from an old song. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And he sang that, and this wind rushed into the building, knocked 250 people off their seats. And that was the end of that meeting. You see, people on the floor getting delivered and all kinds, healed and all kinds of stuff. But it's just that little two-line song. So I'm available. Because those of you that are a bit shy, you have to step out. You know, it's not one thing about the anointing, which is part of the freedom. You know, the freedom, the Holy Spirit, the anointing, sets you free from, well, you know, the penalty of sin, obviously. We know we're going to heaven because Jesus paid. Is that right? Well, guess what? When he died and rose again, he qualified you 100%. He took the test and passed it. There's not another test. There's down the road, not another test. So say this after me. The realm of the Spirit. Supernatural realm. The angels. Heavenly visitations. Chariots of God. And all that good stuff. It's meant to be normal. 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 Part of my life. Turn to your neighbor. Say, got it? Yeah. See, there's a, in America, you may have noticed in America, there's a big old qualifying spirit on the church. It makes people feel they're not qualified. Not for salvation, but when you talk about the things of the Spirit, the chariots, the visitations of God, the heavenly places, people tend to feel not qualified. You see, and that's really come from the church. Actually, nobody stands up here and says that. Nobody stands up here and says you have to qualify, but it's implied a lot of times. It's implied a lot, you see, and so that takes a little hold. So every time you feel a little bit condemned or something, you feel not qualified. And the devil counts on that. Because guess what? The devil doesn't care how much you know. He can outquote you. I've had religious spirits come out of people quoting scriptures I had to go and look up. Because they get these obscure scriptures, you know, and quote them at you. One religious spirit a while ago came out this guy. My husband said, in my name they shall cast out devils, now come out. And this spirit said, you can't quote that, it's not in the original. Said Schofield said so. So, I can't remember why I was saying all that. I can't remember why I started to tell you that. Anyway, never mind. Doesn't matter. The water tastes like orange. What's oranges mean? Orange. It's got like orange juice. Anyway, I was saying, liberty. What? Oh, sweet companionship of the Lord. He sat in my van for a few hours the other day. Jesus did. He didn't say anything. He just put his shoulder next to mine. Just sat there. So neat. So liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, liberty. So we're free from the penalty of sin. Guess what else, folks? That anointing sets you free from sin consciousness. Woo! Did you know we're not supposed to live in a sin-conscious realm? Romans 8, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But if you live, it's a religious realm, by the way, if you live in a sin-conscious realm, you will live in condemnation every day. I guarantee it. I guarantee you that. So you see, we're not supposed to live in that realm because we're delivered from that realm into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And the anointing, when you come into the anointing, the spirit realm, you actually, the anointing makes you God conscious, not sin conscious. You see, so you hear me, you're not supposed to live in a sin conscious realm. You live in a God conscious realm. And actually, your first calling, remember, is to enjoy God. He called you first to enjoy him. Don't serve him if you don't enjoy him, because you'll just be passing on your religion. And I hate to tell you, but no one's interested. There's people out there not in the least bit interested in your religion. They could care less, but if you've got something good, they might want that. Because whether you like it or not, you're God's advertisement. Aren't you? As soon as you say you're a Christian, you immediately become an advertisement. If you don't want to be an advertisement, don't tell anyone you're a Christian. Because as soon as you do, you are. And if you're enjoying God, which is your first calling, right, to enjoy God, that'll show. And people around you are like, what is that? People can feel things. Aren't they? People out there, they're not stupid. They may not be saved yet, but they're not dumb either. You know, it's like, remember last time I told you, in Macon, that's where I live. You can tell by my accent. Don't say, Macon, Georgia. I'm Macon, Georgia. And we had one of those guys, bless his heart, I mean, I'm sure he meant well, but he's like, downtown, you know, with the tracks. And he's like, abundant life. Abundant life. Abundant life. You want to say, have you got this life? Yes. So you'd really want to say, well, if you've got it, you can keep it. Because I've got enough problems of my own. Don't get that. You know, if you've got the joy, tell your face about it, at least. You know. I love Jesus. No, I'm a Christian. So, haven't you noticed when you relax and enjoy the Lord, how the Holy Spirit moves? You see, because he makes you God conscious. I'll tell you how it works, in case you're puzzled. When we come into that first revival, actually God washed our minds for 3 years from all that theology I was under. Calvinism, Puritanism, 10 years. And it made me run away, actually. Some of you know my testimony. I couldn't live in it. I needed a lot of deliverance. Nobody knew about deliverance. So I ran away to Australia, backslid really bad, got engaged to someone in the mafia. But God, after a couple of years, God visited me, delivered me from the whole thing, came back to England, married my husband 6 weeks later. So that's when we came into that awesome revival. It's a whole story there, but I can't tell you all the stories. So we came into that revival. God washed our minds for 3 years. We actually laughed for 3 years. Because we were so heavy. That religious stuff is really heavy. It's heavy. It's like weights, isn't it? Do you know every religious concept you have is a weight on you? It's a weight, because weights are not just on your heart. There are weights that can be on your heart, but most weights are on the mind, actually. Right, religious concepts. So anyway, we kind of laughed for 3 years, and God washed all that away. But then we learned this. See, like I was saying about there's no condemnation. The second biggest liberty you have is being free from sin consciousness. We don't live in that realm. That's not a realm we're called to live in. There's no condemnation. Why? Because we don't live there. We live in a God-conscious realm because we're sons and daughters. And how it works is this. I mean, I remember, you know, we were in that revival. Join God. It was just, all this stuff was happening. And I was still working in London. So every day I'd get on the same train with the same people in the same carriage. That's what you do in England. Do everything the same. With the same people. After about 2 years of this, the men in their bowler hats, you know, they would go. And that was a breakthrough. They'd lower their newspaper and go. And you were acknowledged. That was a big thing. Anyway, so I get off the platform at Waterloo. You heard of Waterloo, big station. So I've got a season ticket, railway season ticket, okay? And it was forged. It was a forged season ticket. All our group had a forged season ticket because someone in our group was a very good forger. And I didn't think anything about it. You know, I always had this. So I'm walking up the platform with my ticket. And the Holy Spirit suddenly said, hey, Kathy. So I said, yes. He said, you shouldn't really be doing that. And as soon as he said that, I dropped it like a hotcake. Say, whoa. And I went up to the gate guy, you know, the ticket guy. And I said, I had a forged season ticket for ages. And he said, get out of the way. He said, yeah, that's how it works. As you're enjoying the Lord. See, in that same scriptures in 2 Corinthians 3, it says, as you behold the glory of the Lord. Which is, the Holy Spirit loves to do that, doesn't he? It's his favorite thing is to reveal Jesus to you. Why? So you can fall in love with him. Because Jesus isn't a book. There's a book that tells you about him. But sometimes people get stuck here. And they can't get into proper relationship with Jesus. Which is what the strawberries is all about. That's what the strawberries is about. So you have a relationship. See, remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? Because the Pharisees knew the scriptures. And he said, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. But they're telling you about me and you won't come to me. So they got stuck with the book. But guess what? Let's do this little exercise. Hold your Bible up. Hope you got your Bible. If you haven't, put your hand on someone else's, they won't mind. Say, devil,
devil.
See this?
Jesus.
Mine!
Mine,
mine, mine!
Turn
to your neighbor, say, honey.
Honey.
See this?
Jesus.
Mine! Mine, mine, mine! I haven't finished yet. Because there's nothing in here, that I can't have.
The
Holy Spirit came,
to
get it out of the book,
and into my life.
Yeah.
Amen.
See,
if it
stays in the book, that is wonderful, interesting information, isn't it? It's wonderful. Well, it's just information if it stays in here. So the Holy Spirit came to give you life. That means he gets it out of here and into your life. And you become a living epistle, read and known of all men. See, people there, they might not read their Bible, but they read you. They got you. So don't go around with a long melon face, you know, full of religion. But you got some joy and some life, you know, something going on. Oh, where's my... When I left Houston a while ago, I got on the plane, I was sitting in business class, because I get lots of upgrades, I'm a million miler and all that. Sitting in business class, and the girl, the flight attendant, she says to me, "Aren't you Kathy Walters?" So I said, you know, because my hair changes color a lot. I said, yeah. She said, "I've been in your conference. Could you come and pray for the other flight attendant? She's a Baptist." So I said, "No, I'm not going to pray for her unless she really wants me to. You know, because I don't believe in making people get prayed for." So she said, "No, she's hungry." And I told her, "Can you come and pray for her?" So I went to the front. There's the businessman, you know, sitting there in business class. Went to the front. I said, "I'm praying for this little Baptist girl. The Lord gave me a word of knowledge." She's all like wide-eyed. She's, "Oh, how did you know that?" You know. So anyway, we ministered to her. She started to receive something. But this guy got up out of business class, you see, and he pulled on her jacket, the flight attendant. He said, "Excuse me, where's our drinks?" So she said, "Would you sit down? Because we're praying." He said, "Okay." We went and sat down. Sat down. You see, when I finished up praying for this girl, I went back to to my seat. And as I went past him, he pulled my jacket. So he said, "Excuse me." I thought he was going to tell me off, you know. He said, "Do we all get a wish?" I said, "Why not?" Wish is a desire of the heart, right? So I jumped out my religious box and said, "Yeah, everyone can have a wish." God will honor that. He wants to meet them. He wants to prove himself to them. When he does, he just wants you to give him an opportunity. So we prayed for everybody in first class, you know. Everybody got wish. We had a great flight. So I'm available. But anyway, there's liberty. If you enjoy the Lord, and he says, you know, you just enjoy the Lord, and he says, "Hey, quit that." "Oh, okay." You don't have a big old battle. It's the anointing. See, sometimes we create a battle for people because we're trying to make them change things God could care less about at the moment. You know what I mean? He's much more interested in that person's spirit of rejection than in their cigarettes. You know, you're out there just as you are. God loves you just like you are. You know, just as you are. God loves you. You know, come to church with me on Sunday and we'll straighten you out. And we're trying to get their cigarettes and that, you know what I mean, all this. But God works from the inside out. Yes. Leave him alone because he's a heart man. He's a heart man. Also, the old man, actually, you know, the old man was crucified anyway, wasn't he? So when people enjoy the Lord and they snuggle, don't struggle. God deals with all that. There's liberty there. I think I told you this last time, but so it's just so I can explain what I mean. I had some visitations from the Lord. I had one, I was lifted up into heaven every day for 7 days. And another time I was lifted up into heaven every day for 3.5 weeks. Now, one of those days when I was in heaven, I was in this room, and there was a beautiful young girl there. It was me, but it wasn't me, it was everybody. It was the betrothed, the church betrothed. She was standing there, there were three angels there. And Jesus walked into the room, and the angels began to sing to her, "Isn't he beautiful? beautiful, isn't he? So she looked, he was so fantastic. And I don't know what words to say, you know, he's so beautiful. He was so gracious, he was so kind, he was so righteous, he was so, you know, she just was totally just overcome. So she began to sing too. Isn't he beautiful, beautiful, isn't he? And he came and he walked right over to her. And he said, yes, you are beautiful, beautiful, yes, you are. And he was so in love with her. He thought she's the best thing since sliced cheese. He was so in love with her. He thought she was absolutely incredible. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but the church, or, you know, the betrothed, whatever you want to say, is actually greater than all of creation. You ever thought about that? Creation was created. But you have his spirit. You have in you the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. Whoa, that's eternity's already in you. Whoa, eternity is already in you. That's why you don't die in that way, you just continue. This stuff drops off. You see, so eternity, that makes you get, that you're of his spirit, the same spirit. A new heart and a new spirit I put within you. Remember, that's the new covenant. God's not trying to change the old man. Jesus crucified the old man. He said, that's no good, that stinketh. Because you can't improve the old man, can you? It's not improvable. It's not brusher-upable. You can't do anything with it. But a lot of churches, I bet you today, are bringing some kind of message trying to get people to improve the old man. Well, people waste 20 years like that. It's not possible. You cannot improve the old man. So Jesus crucified it. You are crucified. So by faith you can walk in the new man who's already created in righteousness and holiness. Woo! What more do you want? You see, and he left you an inheritance. All the realm of the Holy Spirit. The chariots. The visitations. That's supposed to be normal. You know why? Because your spirit man lives in the spirit realm. That's where he lives. All you're doing is this. That's true. What is your name, hon? Gloria. Can I peep on you, Gloria? Gloria, her spirit man actually lives in the spirit realm. Is that right? He doesn't come out because he's a spirit. He lives there. So, you know, Gloria's really pretty. But you know what? It's going to drop away one day. That house. And you know, you should just continue because the real you is your spirit man. Is that right? That's the real you. The rest is just temporary. So your spirit man, guess what? He lives in the spirit realm all the time. Your spirit man, he prophesies all the time. All the time, continually. Because that's where he lives. You getting what I'm saying? See, if you do this, say, I can do that. That's not hard. What's hard about that? You don't have to take a test. So by faith, you see, you just tune into your spirit man because that's the real you. So actually, anyone in here, you know, you're saved this morning. Actually, anyone in here could go around the whole room and prophesy over everybody. All you're doing is this. Your spirit man, Gloria, who lives in the spirit realm, has visions continually, day and night, because he lives there. So anyone in here, you see, could go around the whole room and have a vision for everyone. All you're doing is this. That's all. You can have profound things that would change someone's life. You know, this is a funny thing. I was in a church a while ago. There was a little kid. He was ministering. My husband was there. The kids were praying. This little kid came up to this man. He was only about 5, and he said, Mister, God's going to give you a lot of money. And everybody like, oh, how cute, you know. But the pastor said, 2 weeks ago, a big prophet came in here and prophesied over that same man. And he's talking about the wealth of the kingdom and all this kind of like terminology. You know, the wealth of the kingdom is going to come into your hands and you know. But the pastor said, actually, he said the same thing as the kid. He just said it in long sentences. and religious words, you know what I mean? But he said, actually, it was the same thing. Anyway, so you're a spirit man. He lives there. Somebody says, pray for me. You can have a vision for them. Immediately, you can. You don't have to qualify. You don't have to pass a test. You know. I saw an advertisement a few weeks ago. I couldn't believe it. Like a vision workshop. You have a vision workshop now? And a workshop for speaking in tongues? And a workshop for... You know, people might need a little instruction, but, you know, you don't need a one-day workshop to have a vision. You just believe it. You don't need a one-day workshop to learn how to prophesy, because you can hear from God. So I can hear. That's my dad. I can hear what he says. You might only get one sentence, but if you believe it, you'll get more. Is that right? How do you get more? When you believe what you've got. You might have a little vision, but if you believe it, you'll get more. If you believe what you've got, you get more. This guy, when I was in Australia, there were a lot of people there I found out, never moved in the spirit. They just sat there, left it all to the people in the front. So I said, if you've never had a vision, come out here, stand right here, we're going to pray, and you will get a vision right now. So I told them, you just have to tune in, start to believe. Anyway, all these people came out, 60-odd people. This one guy, you know, I prayed for them and I said, okay, keep your antenna up. People started having visions because they actually just believed what I said. I got this one guy, I said, do you have a vision? No. I said, well, close your eyes and just start believing. The Lord, I believe with you because there's visions in your spirit. No. I said, you can't see it. He said, no. I said, what did you think you saw? He said, well, I thought I saw a horse. So I said, okay, we'll go back to the horse. And you believe the horse. Well, guess what? The guy went back, he saw the horse again. He just stayed in that. He had a vision for 25 minutes. We couldn't shut him up. You see... So there's a little key there. If you believe, what you begin to get, you will. If you, people say this to me all the time. Oh, I saw a light, and I say, well, what was it? I don't know. But if you see a light and you believe you saw the light, turn to see what the light is, and you'll probably see an angel. And I say, what did he want? See, so believe what you begin to see, you'll see more. Believe what you begin to hear, you'll hear more. There's no reason why everyone in here this morning can't prophesy for a few hours and go into a vision for a few hours. That's your inheritance. Jesus died and left you that inheritance. If I said to you, you know, I just felt like I'm impressed to leave you a diamond mine in South Africa. And I came back here, you know, in a few months' time. And I say, what did you do about the diamond mine? Oh, well, I don't feel qualified. You see, that's what people do. The devil works in them and they don't feel qualified, so they don't receive. The devil's a liar. He can only operate in lies. How many of you woke up one morning and you felt depressed? So you just went with the flow. God said, I want you to call Sister Mary and prophesy. Oh, just pray for her, you know. Oh, I need prayer myself. And you become useless because you're choosing to believe what the devil says. The Bible says the devil's under your feet. I remember when we moved to Macon, in our office, Bob Jones, he'd actually said to me, you better be careful, there's a spirit of depression over that area. But I forgot that he said that. You know, it's a few months later. I got into the office, everyone's like this. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, nothing. Went to my house, you know, made some coffee, and so very soon I'm like this too. I thought, what's wrong with me? And I remembered what he said. And I said, thank you, devil. I love your ministry. Thank you for reminding me that you're under my feet. Thank you for reminding me I have power over the power of the enemy. Thank you for reminding me I have the joy of the Lord. Thank you for reminding me. So he turned it around. I started dancing around. Guess what? That thing never came back, ever. Because the devil is not stupid. He's not stupid. He knows what makes you tick. He's been around a long time. He studied human nature very carefully. And he's not interested in you, really. His only interest is keeping you out of the anointing. Because you only affect his kingdom in the anointing. You working for Jesus for 20 years is not going to affect anything. Remember like last time I was here, I didn't feel it so much today, but felt it a little bit. It's like a nailing my foot to the floor. It's a big old religious spirit. Keeps people very busy. Doesn't mean you don't do anything, because you can do this. You do it really fast. Do it backwards. It's true. See, so while you're busy working for Jesus, you're missing all the anointing. Well, that's his plan. He doesn't want you in the anointing to keep you busy. You know, good can be the enemy of God. You can be very busy doing good things and totally miss God. You can be very busy working for Jesus, doing all these good things, and totally miss the anointing. Because you're not listening. You're not keeping in the anointing. Isn't it funny that when I tell people, chill out, enjoy the Lord, just learn to yield to the anointing, and quit all the religious stuff like that. People look at me like I've got two heads. And it's really, I tell them to stop. Just stop. Sometimes you have to stop. They look at me like I've got two heads. Because it's easier if I gave them a list of 10 things to do. And so to stop. This lady came to me in New England. And I've been talking about entering into his rest. He that's entered into his rest has ceased from his own works. I preached about it for 2 hours. She came to me, she's like this. I thought, she's going to be ill. She said,